We are on Dalet and Aleph at the bottom, three lines from the bottom. So you have the schach is positioned less than 10 tefachim from the ground. It is too close to the ground. That sukkah, the sukkah is too small because of the schach. V'chokak bo kidei lahashlim ala asara. V'chokak is to make, lachkok is to dig in, to engrave something. It means to dig it out. So what he's going to do, he's going to lower the floor by digging it out. In order to lahashlima, to complete it, to asara, to the 10 tefach amount, shiur. Miyesh misfas chakak v'lakoysel. If there is, from the edge of the engravement, of the digging out, v'lakoysel into the wall, shalosh tefachim, three tefachim, psula, it's pasul, it's no good. So in other words, if the digging out, if the hollow, which is the appropriate shiur, if it's too far away from the wall, it's a problem. What's too far away from the wall? Three tefachim. If it is less than three tefachim from the wall, kshera, then it's kasher. So can we all picture what's going on over here? So, from a bird's eye view, here are the walls of the sukkah, and on the inside, you dug it out. So this is deeper in, and the question is, how much of a distance is there here? If it's three tefachim, then it's apparently too far away from the walls. If it's less than three, so then we're good. Hi, Moshe. Welcome away. Zimar is a kasha. So where does that come from, by the way? That statement is what? The Mishnah, the Braisa, what is that? So Gemara doesn't quote anything. You notice that? Gemara never said Tanya, Tana, never said anything. Right, Jamie? Never said anything. So, that's a din. The Gemara is just telling us a din that apparently is agreed upon, but it doesn't really quote anything. But Gemara says that's the din. Ma'ishna hasa, the Ma'at the Pachzi Arbanus, Ma'ishna hacha, the Amr Pachzi Josh Tvach. What's the question? Literally. What's Ma'ishna, literally?
What's the difference?
What's the difference? What's the difference over there that we said less than four amos? And what's the difference here that we said less than three tefachim? So what's the question?
Why are we using different measurements?
For what and what?
For the height of the circle.
The platform and the wall.
Right. When we spoke about bringing the wall closer, which is what we're doing, right? That's the most important part to understand about this case, is that when we're digging out the sukkah on the bottom and making the hollow the right dimensions, what we're really doing is more, apparently, than just raising the schach. Can we think this through for a minute? Think this through. Until now, I've been insisting that the whole issue here is the height of the schach. This case makes it sound a little different. Why?
Talk about the walls.
Because the schach is fine. So why do we care about this three tefachim and the wall? Why is this relevant? So what's the answer? Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's like disconnected from the floor.
Right. The problem is it's not enough for the hollow to be the right shear. What do we also need?
The wall.
So until now, when we were dealing with the itztabo, so what happened with the walls? It's called Dofen Akuma, right? We bent the wall in. We moved the wall closer. So, what's going on here? So we moved the wall closer, right? What? Am I missing something? Why is this? This is an upside down sukkah, right? This is exactly the case we had before, just upside down. This is a very visual Gemara. We're flipping it upside down. So what's going on? I really don't understand. If we would flip this upside down, so the schach is too low, we're gonna raise it up a little bit. All we're doing is lowering the floor. So what is the difference? Are you having trouble wrapping your mind around it? Like, what's the difference between before when we just said we'll move the wall closer, we'll look at it as bent, and here, why can't we look at it bent this way then? If you really need your wall, we'll look at it bent from the bottom. That's all. So this used to be the floor.
schach, and this is less than 10, so 9 tefachim. So what we did was, dug it out. Okay, so here's the question, that shear over there. So, okay, so what's the big deal? So we'll just do the wall like this, right? Look at the dofen akuma. So instead of being dofen akuma, we'll call it karka akuma. The ground will be bent. Like, what's the problem? Bother anybody yet?
No. Guy says, I don't understand. It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing, just in reverse. So if you want to bend the ground, bend the ground. Like, what? Do you understand what I mean by bend the ground? Dofen akuma.
What was the case of dofen akuma? Where the schach, you have your sukkah, and this time it's too high. So we're going to build our platform in the middle, so that now this space is good. But the problem is there's no walls. The walls aren't touching, so we need walls. So Mary said, no problem. We'll just view the walls as if they're bent. In other words, this part of the schach, it's above your sukkah, we'll treat it like it's a wall. So in effect, what you have is, you know, it's just going like this, right? It's just at an angle. So it's fine. So we'll ignore that part of the sukkah or whatever. It's like a bent wall. So it's exactly the same thing. Well, why can't we just, this is the bent wall on the floor. It's between bent wall on the floor and bent wall on the schach. So can you picture that? That's what's bothering the Gemara. It's exactly the same thing, just flipped upside down. So if you can bend the roof on the top by the schach, why can't you bend it here? What do you mean?
The floor, you take the hole, it's permanent bent. I guess it's a permanent bend as opposed to something that's temporary.
Why temporary? I mean, it could be your ceiling. Remember, that was the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara was, what if it's a house?
How is it? These triangular roofs. I don't know why. But it's your house. So this broke off. Hurricane came, and now that's missing. So no problem. You put schach here. Problem is, you don't have any walls. No problem. Dofen akuma, as long as it's less than the Dalet Amis, so you can go ahead and we'll view that as a curved wall, and this is your whole wall now. Okay? You do it on both sides. You do it on four sides, the Gemara, right? So fine. Permanent. That's your house. That's your ceiling. But it's not a ceiling anymore, not a wall. It's a bent wall.
So the Gemara says you're missing another distinction. Ma'ishna hasam. What's the difference between the two shiurim? Hasam over there where we require less than 4 amos, the isay with doifen, where there is a wall, the isay that there is a ladofen wall. Pachos me arba amos sagya, less than 4 amos is enough. Hacha here in our case when you dig out the ground, the shvuye. The dofen, when we want to make it into a wall, shaveh is like to make it equal, right? So when you find the word the shavuye, it means to make it equal, to make it the same as, to make it into the dofen a wall. Pachos mishleisha tvachim in, less than 3 tvachim in, yes. Eloi, if not, loy, no. So I still don't really understand what's going on. The Gemara seemed to say that if you have a wall, then you can already do the Dalet Amis thing. If you don't have a wall, then 3 tefachim, yes, if not, not. Anybody have any clues going on yet? No, not yet, right? So we got to take a look at Rashi. Rashi helps us out a lot. So 3 lines from the top. Hasam, the isli doifen, pachos mi'arba amos. Hasam, in the case where the roof collapsed or whatever, and you fill it up with schach. Hasam, over there, the ika, shame doifen, a love. Where the wall has a name. What's the name of the wall? Doifen. Wall. What are you talking about? It's a lumdisha point. You can have something that has a shame doifen. It's considered to be a wall. Meaning it has the status of a wall. Let's make it very, very simple. You go into a synagogue and you want to know if it's Orthodox or it's not Orthodox. So you take a look at the mechitza. Is there a mechitza? The answer is, yeah, there's a mechitza. How big is a mechitza? Well, how big does a mechitza have to be? Well, what's the function of a mechitza? Well, so here you have 2 different types of mechitzos. There's a mechitza in terms of rishus, and then there's a mechitza in a shul, and it requires a little bit more, because it's not to make it a separate domain, that's not the goal. The goal is to make it that the men shouldn't be staring at the women. I remember Rav Aryeh had a funny line. So he used to say,
What?
Because women don't get distracted like men do. It's just the way we are. So he used to say, the reason why we have machitza and shul is not because we don't like women. Because we do like women. That's the problem. So in a shul, so you got to be big enough that it's going to prevent what's called kalos rosh. So you're going to prevent kalos rosh. So the definition of a mechitza in shul, whatever Moshe said, 5 feet, whatever it is, has to be big enough that, like, you can't, you know, flirt across this mechitza. If you can, it's a problem. But in a rishus, if you're trying to separate a hilcha Shabbos between a rishus yachid, a rishus rabim, how high does that wall have to be? Anybody know? Ten tefachim. So our type of mechitza that we're dealing with in terms of a wall of a sukkah, what's the purpose of sukkah? To prevent kalos rosh between you and the raccoons? No. Is to make sure you have a domain of your own. You have a dira. You have a private area. Rosh Hashanah. So how high do the walls have to be for a rishus, for a domain? 10 tefachim. So if I have a 10 tefach wall, it's a wall. It has a shame doifen. It has the status of being a wall. It might have to mean a status of being a wall, Rabbi. What you talking about? What do you mean? That has a halacha. It has a halacha. In Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Shabbos, that's a wall. That's a doifen. That's a mechitza. It's not going to be enough for a shul, but that's enough for a rishus. Shein apachas, but if it's not a 10 tefachim, you don't have a wall yet. You have the beginnings of the wall, but you don't have a wall. So that says Rashi, so Gemara answers, that's the difference between the two cases. And when you're talking about in the case of the house where the sach is too high and you want to make a doivan akuma, it's because you already have a wall. You already have a shame doifen. You already have a wall. What do you mean? How much do you have? At least 10 tvachim. Once you have a wall of 10 tvachim, you can apply the rule of a bent wall with the additional space. So that's this case. You're talking about a person built this platform, it's Itztaba, so he has a huge wall. In fact, it's too big, and that's the problem. So he built this Itztaba and the schach in addition to the existing wall. You can say that's part of the wall, it's just bent. Because I have a wall. If you have a wall, you have an additional part of the wall that's bent. But if you don't have a wall yet, then what are you trying to do in our case with this little area here? You're trying to make it into the wall. To make it into the wall, it has to actually be part of the wall. Let me make that very clear. We're going to distinguish now between what we're going to call lavud and what we call doifen akuma. Lavud and doifen akuma. So these are principles that you're going to need to know. Lavud, and what we've already discussed, is the doifen akuma. What is lavud? You heard of lavud before? Lavud is a halacha that applies to unite objects. If things are, you know, like in gematria, if it's one off, that's good enough. It says when Yaakov Avinu is speaking to his children, he says to Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh, Kit Ruvain v'Shimon Yiuli. Ephraim and Manasseh will be just like Ruvain and Shimon to me. Ephraim and Manasseh, that's how they became Shvatim. Yosef ended up with 2 Shvatim, basically, right? Because Ephraim and Manasseh, Kit Ruvain v'Shimon Yiuli. If you have time and you're bored in like some class, so start doing the gematria of Ephraim Manasseh and Reuven and Shimon. It's one off. It's interesting. So they asked the kasha, how could it be? Yaakov Avinu was lying. Because they're not the same. Because in gematria, they're one off. That's what you see from here. One off is exactly the same. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. Ephraim Manasseh, Kit Reuven and Shimon. It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. You know it's one off. Not significant in the mathematics of gematria. In any case, when it comes to our scenario, lavud means one thing is considered connected if they're within how much? 3 tefachim. Lavud is 3 tefachim. That's a test, sorry. And dofen akuma is less than 4 amos. So this is lavud is less than 3 tefachim. Dofen akuma has to be less than 4 amos. So, what's going on in our case when you dig out the floor? We need to add on to the wall. In order to add on, meaning to make it a wall, because it's only 9 tefachim, it's not 10 tefachim yet. So to make it into a wall, it has to already be wall. How do you make something into a wall? What do you mean be wall? I mean it's close enough and it's considered connected. Close enough to be considered connected. Let's say your schach doesn't reach the wall on the top. So when is it considered to be connected to the wall? When is it considered too far away? So say, lovewood, right? Lovewood. It's considered connected as long as it's in three tefach. So that halacha will come up in other situations. So that's the Gemara's distinction. It says, when we're talking about you already have a wall, but the problem is that the schach is too far away from the wall, so then you can consider the roof part of the wall by saying dofen akuma, if it's less than 4 amos. But when you don't have a wall yet, you don't have a mechitza, not a legit mechitza yet, so then to go ahead and say the floor is a bent wall, you can't say that because you don't yet have a wall. You don't yet have a wall. What would be the case? Let's come up with a case that Gemara doesn't discuss. What about this? What about the guy has... Come up with a case where you can dig out the floor and say Dofen Akuma. Yeah, he just has to be big enough. So the sukkah, this
is always going to be too low.
Alright, I'll play with it. So you come up. Have to be creative.
Are you allowed to build like a floorboard for a sukkah?
What do you mean?
Like to create a floor for a sukkah or no?
To raise the floor or what do you mean?
To create the floor. You feel like a big, like, let's say, just like with the roof, kind of, there's already a structure built there, kind of, the schach, and so therefore you could say that, like, a piece of the schach will technically be considered part of the wall for the Dofen Akuma, right? But, so you could say maybe for the floor, right now for the floor, basically, when you dig down, there's no, like, there's nothing there. But if you had, like, a floorboard put up, and then you actually cut through the floorboard and then dug down,
it would be the same thing, right? It would be the same thing.
Right, no, but then, in that case, then, would it be considered more like, it wouldn't be like creating the, wall, the Dofen Akuma, rather, because it's already, like, there. So it's more...
But how big is the wall that's existing? Before you start digging or doing anything, how big is that wall? Is it 10 tefachim or not 10 tefachim? If it's already 10 tefachim, you already have a kasher sukkah, so what's the problem?
Right, but so let's say it's not, right?
Then it's 9 tefachim, then it's less than 10 tefachim.
Right.
In which case, you need to have a wall to say Dofen Akuma. It won't work. That's why I'm trying to come up with a case also. I'm having trouble coming. I don't think it's gonna, not going to work because...
Well, no, but in the case with 10 tefachim, you can still have a wall, right? If the sukkah is less than 10 tefachim, you'll still have a wall there, and all you need to do is basically just...
A wall means it's 10 tefachim. If it's not 10 tefachim, it's not a wall.
Right, so by digging down, aren't you making the wall Dofen Akuma? That's what they're trying to do.
If you're digging down, you're adding to the wall. You have to create enough of the wall to say Dofen Akuma. Can't say Dofen Akuma until you've got a wall.
So yeah, but if the board's there, like, I don't know, can you create a wall with dirt though?
Yeah.
I thought there was an issue with that.
No, so that's what I'm saying. You're digging down. It doesn't say it's made out of anything else. It can be dirt, it's fine.
Right, but you're saying that in terms of Dofen Akuma that...
What if you dig out? You dig out 10 tefachim into the ground. Your mom should make a sukkah that's a hole in the ground. Why not?
That's fine.
Yeah, fine. Okay, so Vaitun the Gemara says, Haisa gavo mesim amud. The schach was higher than 20 amos. But when amud, shukavoya sarit tvachim, and he builds in it a pillar that is 10 tvachim high, but it's not a skinny pillar, v'yesh boy, and there is in the pillar, hechsher sukkah, enough to be a kasher sukkah. So that was a machlokes hillel and b'shamai, but because we pass him like b'shamai, so we'll just assume that's the halacha. 7x7 tefachim. Rosho, rubo, v'shulchanon. It fits even his table in. 7x7 tefachim. So, if... I don't want to get complicated, but just to think about it in your minds for a minute, circles and squares are not the same. You got to bring some geometry into this, you know? When you want to have a sukkah that's 7x7 tefachim, pillars could be circular, they could be square too. So if it's square, it means it's at least 7x7. What if it's a circle? It would have to be bigger, right? The diameter would not be 4. The diameter would have to be more than that. Because you'd have to be able to fit the square inside the circle, right?
This might be a crazy question.
Yeah.
But if you had a circular sukkah, wouldn't you have infinitely amount of sides?
So at the end, you're right.
Or you have one side.
You're right. So it's going to have to be at least virtually able to be big enough.
To have square.
Yeah. So that's what I was trying to say, basically the same idea here. If you've got your pillar, so you have to be careful with the dimensions over here. So
the diameter
is going to be 4. Yeah, you have to work with it, that's all. Yeah. But you just have to make sure. Yeah, you have to make sure that that's going to work.
Anyway, okay.
Sefer Abaye Lameimer, Abaye thought to say the following. This is, again, one of these virtual, magical concepts that exist whenever you're talking about Eruven and here in Sukkah. Good, Osik, Mechitzta. What exactly does that mean? Good, Osik, Mechitzta. Well, without translating it, I'll just tell you what it means. It means that the mechitzas can continue to go up. The mechitzas can continue to go up. We know until now that to build something in the middle of the sukkah, you're going to have some kind of dofen akuma or something like that, right? Because you have to have walls. Abaye is inventing a very interesting idea. What's the interesting idea? If you are on top of a reshus hayachid on Shabbos, you're on the top of an apartment building. But there aren't walls. It's the top, you know, a person's supposed to make a makkah or whatever. Okay, he didn't. It's one of these walls that you can fall off of and kill yourself. So go be careful by the end. Is it a reshus hayachid? Except just yeah, because it's 10 tefachim high, right? It has the dimensions of a reshus hayachid. You're on top of the reshus hayachid. You're not a reshus harabim. So one of the reasons for that is because we have a right to view the walls as continuous because you have a wall. So because you're on top of a big apartment building, we view it as if the apartment building walls continue up on top of you, even though you're in airspace. There's no walls at all. We view the walls as if they continue, a virtual wall above. Maybe it has to be a little bit of a wall sticking up on top, maybe there doesn't. So details. But the idea is that it can continue to go up. So if you have a little tiny itzaba, a little platform that you're making in your sukkah, so it doesn't have walls yet, because it's only a tefach, a couple of tefachim, like it's not significant. But if you built a pillar in the middle of your sukkah, like the highest size of this desk, 10 tefachim high, so we can view it as if the walls continue up. So imagine you have like a desk like this. It's probably big enough, right? 7 tefachim, probably pretty close. So you can put this in the middle of your sukkah. You'll sit on top of it. And we'll view the walls of the desk as if they continue to go up to the schach. So Abaye said, why not? That works in halacha, in Hilchos Mechitzos, in Hilchos walls. Savar Abaye, Neymar good, Asik Mechitzta. Amar Le Rava, Rava responded to him, V'ina Mechitzas Hanikarais V'lecha. Sorry, that may work in other areas of halacha, it doesn't work here in Sukkah, because you need recognizable walls, and there aren't any. Oh. So, it's a little bit troubling. Rava doesn't prove it, Rava doesn't say it. Like, there's no follow-up on that. It's just, oh, and we're done. Sounds like, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. Do you have to figure that out? That's the Gemara says. Turn around. A guy takes 4 posts. We're going to imagine them for now, and we're going to come back to soon. Circular poles. Maybe they're pretty thick. But circular poles. He pulled 6 of them. Besichech al gaban, and he puts schach on top of the 4 poles. Rabbi Yaakov machshir, v'chachamim poislin. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kasher, and the chachamim say it's pasul. Okay, so far this doesn't make any sense. You can't have a sukkah without any walls. So how do you have 4 poles, schach on top of 4 poles, and a kasher sukkah? So, and it's a machlokes, if it's kasher or not. Obviously it's pasul, because it doesn't have any walls. It's a door frame, it's not a wall. Yeah. You learned this Gemara before. So okay, so good. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, right on target. Amar Rav Huna machlokes al sfas agag. Right, exactly what you were thinking, based on the principles that we were just utilizing. The machlokas is when it's on a rooftop, on the lips, on the edge, hagag of the roof. So if the four poles are on the corners of the roof, so then we can say gudasik v'chitzta, right? Wait, I thought Rava just said it. Okay, well, deal with it. Maybe that's machlokes by Rava. Say machlokes. On the rooftop. Rabbi Yaakov Savar Amrinan Gudasik V'chitzta. Because Rabbi Yaakov holds exactly like Abai was saying, of course Rabbi Yaakov came first, that Rabbi Yaakov was saying Gudasik V'chitzta, Rabbanan Savri Loy Amrinan Gudasik V'chitzta. And by that reason, we don't say that the walls continue to go up virtually. So say, who says this? It's important to keep the track of names for a minute. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, this machlokas from Yaakov and Rabbanan is on the edge of a house, in the edge, on the rooftop, where we can view the walls as going up. But the keys that we were originally imagining in our head, where it's in the middle of a rooftop, there are four poles, like, you know, on top of an apartment building, there are no walls. Everyone agrees possible. Okay, so what did Rav Huna just say? Rav Huna basically says that the machlokas of Baye and Rava is a pre-existing machlokas between Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon. It's a machlokas of good asik mechitzta for a sukkah. Okay, good. Are we together? Are we awake? Ready? Yeah, the little light there. We'll make that here. Tired. Monday. That's Rav Huna. That's Rav Huna. Rav Nachman Omar, Be'emtza Hagag Machlekes. Wow! Rav Nachman says they're arguing over the middle of a rooftop. What? So we have a hard time understanding that. How could that be? We don't understand the mechanism yet. But that's what Rav Nachman says, is that the Machlokes between Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanu was not the Machlokes of Bayi Rava. The Machlokes says it's in the middle of the rooftop, and you've got poles, no walls, and Rabbi Yaakov still says that sukkah is kosher. Okay? So that's Machlokes Rav Huna. And who else? Rav Nachman. Is there any possibility of a sukkah on four poles that could be kosher according to Rabbi Yaakov? Machlokes Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, what do they argue about? Ibai Elohu. So they asked him the following question. The Emza Gag Machlokes. So again, this was not asked to the people involved over here. This was asked in the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash wanted to know, this machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov is the machlokes in the middle of a roof, but on the edge, everyone agrees it's kosher, which would be the opinion of Rav Nachman, right? Isn't that what Rav Nachman said? Nachman said machlokas is in the middle of the roof. Rabbi Yaakov holds four poles, middle roof. Rabbi Yaakov holds kasha. The Rabbanan, no way. And Rav Huna said the machlokas is on the edges of the roof, where we can say the walls continue to go up. Rabbi Yaakov holds the walls continue to go up, like Abaye suggested. And Rabbanan say, no way, we don't say that. Like Rava seemed to say, we need recognizable machitzas, and you don't have them. Maybe they argue over both. Maybe they argue over the middle and also along the edge. And my answer is teku. Let it stand. We don't know. And of course, everybody knows the acronym, right? Tishvi, Atari, Kushu, Siavayos. Enough of you will have to answer this one. Anyway, this is a funny teku because Gemara seems to go on and deal with it. Meisibe, attack Kasha. Nietz, Arba Kundasin Ba'aretz. A guy, Nietz is to like stick it into the ground. And I, what's a good English word for that? To shove it into the, stick it into the ground?
Stake it
into the ground. That's good. So he staked these four poles into the ground. V'sichichal gabon, and he puts tzrach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov machshir, v'chachamim poislin. Now, where did he do this? What's the Lashon Gemara? Nietz, Arba Kundasin Ba'aretz. Anybody here? This thing on?
Shemayim.
Not Shemayim, but Aretz. So he put them into the Aretz. Where is the Aretz located? On the top of an apartment building?
No.
Most of the time not. So, the Aretz, it's in the earth, the Ke'emsa Hagag dummy, which obviously is comparable to the middle of a roof. The Kamachshir of Yaakov. And Yaakov says it's Kasher. So who's the one that said that Rabbi Yaakov would allow it to be kosher in the middle of a roof? Rav Huna or Rav Nachman?
Huna.
Let's take a vote. Who thinks it's Rav Huna? Who thinks it's Rav Nachman? Okay, you're right. It's Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the one that said the machlokas is be'emtzagah. Be'emtzagah. That means that according to Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yaakov would hold that four poles, schach on top of them, in the middle of a roof or in the middle of a field, right? Should be the same thing, is kosher. And that's what he said. We don't understand Rabbi Yaakov. How could it be? You can have a sukkah around the walls. Okay. But that at least was the opinion of Rav Nachman. So Gemara says, you're right, Yufta, the Rav Huna, to Yufta. More than a difficult, right? That would be kasha. To Yufta means, bam kasha, knockout, knockout punch. To Yufta, whenever the Gemara says to Yufta twice, it means knockout punch. TKO, no, KO. KO. Like that's finished. This is a proof that he is wrong. The Gemara sometimes will say, Tiyufta, do whatever. And the Gemara is really asking, is that not a Tiyufta? But whenever it says the Lashon like this, Tiyufta, Durachim, Tiyufta, Tiyufta twice in between his name in the middle, that means knockout. Knockout. So apparently, the Machlokes is Be'emta Hagad, like Rav Nachman said. So that would mean they argue over the middle. So Rav Yaakov Taka holds that if you have four poles and you put Tzlach on top, for some reason, that's Kusher. And Rabbanan say, no way. And furthermore, be'emtzahu depligi, they argue over the middle of the roof. Aval asvas hagag divrei hakol kshera. But if it was in the edge, then everyone would agree it's kosher. No. Okay, let's pause for a minute and just digest what the Gemara is doing right now. And the Gemara does right now is it, we always assume that a mishnah, a brisa, or whatever, whenever we're given a machlekes, we're given the extreme of the machlokes, so that we know the parameters of what we're dealing with. So the problem with extremes is that there's extreme kosher and extreme pasul. So whoever is saying pasul, they're going to have an extreme. Even in that case, it's pasul that you would have expected is kosher. That would be on the edge of the roof, right? On the edge of the roof, if you put four poles on the edge of the roof, you would expect at least the possibility that the wall continues to go up. So if the Rabbanan are going to say pasul, they mean even in that case it's pasul. Is it pasul in the middle of the roof according to Rabbanan? Of course it is. Because if it's pasul here where there is at least a hava amina, then for sure it's going to be pasul in the middle of the roof, when why in the world should it be kosher? So that's the extreme position of the Rabbanan. What's the extreme position of Rav Yaakov? To say it's kosher when it's on the edges? No. To say it's kosher in the middle, where there's no possibility of saying that any walls go up. So the extreme kosher halacha is Rav Yaakov. The extreme puzzle position is Rabbanu. So if you want to tell me the extreme, well, which one are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the extreme position of the psul, or the extreme position of the hechsher? So do we have a rule? The rule is, ready? Koach dehetera adif. Koach dehetera adif. Whoever is saying the biggest heter is what the Mishnah, Braisa, or whatever will focus on. Now that's a structural rule. Meaning when you're learning Mishnayos, you have a right to assume that the focus is on the hechsher. That we're saying the biggest chiddush in kasher, not the biggest chiddush in pasul. So you should assume that. When you learn a Mishnah, you should assume that it's giving you the koach of hetera. Some people want to extrapolate that into a bigger picture, and they want to say, yeah, because it's easy to say something's pasul. It's not so easy to say something's kasher. So when you find a rabbi that says it's kasher, so you know that he knows his stuff, because he's willing to say it's kasher, unless he's just one of these guys that says whatever he wants. He has no Yerushalayim. But in any case, if you have a rabbi with Yerushalayim, and he says, this is kasher, you're allowed to do it, so you know, he really worked it out. But anybody can say it's bustle. Anybody can say don't do it. Anybody can say that. Anybody can say chum. So that's an extrapolation. But that's not the principle. The principle basically is, when you read a Mishnah, the Mishnah is focused on the koach of heter. So let's think about this for a minute. Let's assume that that's true. So what should come out in our case? They argue over the emtza hagag. So we're talking about the middle of the roof. So is that a focus on Hechsher or Psul? Is a bigger Chiddush in the Hechsher or bigger Chiddush in the Psul?
The edge?
In the middle.
In the middle?
In the Heter, right? Because Rabbi Yaakov is saying it's even Kasher there. But if the Rabbanan say it's Psul there, what would the Rabbanan say on the edge of the roof? Well, it's possible in the middle, but I don't know that it's possible on the edge, because on the edge you could say the walls continue to go up. So if this halacha is being taught in the middle, and we say, koach de hetera adif, it's showing you the heter of Rabbi Yaakov. Even there it's kasher. Of course it's kasher on the edge. And Rabbanan? I don't know. I don't know what the Rabbanan would say on the edge if the machlokas is in the middle. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta to Rav Nachman Tiyufta. Rav Huna can't be right, because he says that they agree that it's puzzle in the middle of the roof. And you see, that's not true. Rav Yaakov for sure holds his kasher in the middle of the roof, because he holds its kasher if you take four poles in the middle of the ground. So Rav Huna's wrong. But Rav Nachman said the machlokas is in the middle, but what about the edges? For oy, be'emzahu depligi. But shouldn't it be true that on the edge everyone would say it's kosher? Because the Rabbanan are only arguing with Rabbi Yaakov in the middle. But wouldn't the Rabbanan agree that it's kosher on the edge? Because if that's true, then Rav Huna is wrong in totality. Because he claimed they argue over the edge. And everyone holds in the middle, it's possible. But now it should come out, the machlokas is in the middle, and everyone agrees on the edge, kosher! Gemara says, no. Amalech Rav Huna, Rav Huna will respond to you, pligi bam sagag. They argue over the middle, v'hu adin al sva sagag. And they also have a machlokas, the same machlokas is on the edge also. Well then why are they arguing over the center? They're only arguing over the case in the middle of the roof. To show you the power, the strength of the position of Rabbi Yaakov, that filu be'em sagag nami machshir, he's willing to be machshir even in the middle of the roof. That's going to be the focus. That's legit. I mean, that's a real way to learn Mishnayos and Brises. So if this is being stated as a machlokas in the middle of the roof, it's only being stated to show you the position of Rabbi Yaakov. It does not necessarily tell you the position of the Rabbanan, because that's not the point. It's telling you the koach of the heter. Okay, last little piece for today. Turn Rabbanan, niyat arba kudasin ba'aretz. Again, a guy put four poles into the ground, staked them into the ground, as Yehuda would say. Yisichar al-Rabban, and he put schach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Roin Kol, She'ilu Yechakaku V'yechalku. Roin Kol, we view all the poles, She'ilu, that if Yechakaku, they were dug out, V'yechalku, and divided, V'yesh Bohen, Tefach Lekan, V'tefach Lekan. And there is a Tefach this way, and a Tefach that way. Well, what are you talking about? So you remember how we put like a sukkah inside a circle? It's exactly the same thing. So we're going to view our circular pole as if we dug it out, and we have a tefach going this way, and a tefach going this way. But we dug it out here, so this is now missing. So we turned our circle into two tefachim, one going tefach going this way, one tefach going that way. So that's true on all four sides of the circle. So basically, you have a tefach wall on this side, tefach wall on the other side, so two tefachim in each direction of the circle. We view all the poles, that as if we dug them out and we divided them. And there's a tefach in each direction. We judge them, we view them, in terms of what's called a diyumad. A diyumad is, again, a principle that has to do with eruvin. What is the diyumad? So basically, you know, in the olden days, people had to get to Yerushalayim, they came Aliyah the Regel, or wherever they were going, and they needed water for their animals or for themselves. And so there were wells that were actually prepared ahead of time for Aliyah the Regel, that people would be able to stop and they get water for themselves for the animals. Problem is, if you're traveling and you get to an area, and now you got to worry about Shabbos, you got to worry about Rishos HaYachad, Rishos HaRabim, so then what do you do when the well is in the middle of the Rishos HaRabim? How do you get water out? How do you use your cups? So the answer is, they created a structure called a diumud, where there was an amud, like some kind of, not a post, but an actual little bit of a wall that was going in each direction. It was just corners. They didn't connect, they weren't walls. They were just corners. Corners, just exactly like this. But instead of being a sukkah, there was like a well in the middle. And that was enough, midrabanan, to allow people to take the water out on Shabbos. So, by sukkah, we're going to view it in the same way, but instead of requiring an amu in each direction, we're mekel, and we allow there to be only a tefach in each direction. Again, a massive chiddush, going back again to Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rowan Kol, you all the Poles, Kidi Yechad Yechalkov, Yesh Bohen Tefach Lekan Vetefach Lekan, Nidoinen, we judge them, we view them, Mishum Diyumad, in terms of the halach, because of the halach of Diyumad. The Imlav, but if you don't have a Tefach Lekan and a Tefach Lekan, if not, and you don't have those dimensions, Ein Nidoinen Mishum Diyumad, and you cannot view it in terms of the halach of Diyumad. Shahai Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov used to say, Diyumde Sukkah, Tefach, the quote-unquote diyumdin, that halach of diyumad of sukkah, is a tefach, not an amo, but it has to be at least a tefach. V'chachamim, I don't know what you're talking about, Rabbi Yaakov. Ad sheyushtayim kehilchasan, you have to have two normal walls, v'shlishis afilu tefach, and the third has to be a tefach, which the Gemara later on will discuss exactly where the tefach has to be placed. So this is a massive chiddush of Yaakov, and in fact, that's how the Gemara learns. Is even the whole focus of everything that's quoted in the name of Rabbi Yaakov is that the focus is on this massive chiddush of Yaakov. You can have four poles, and as long as those poles are, if they were dug out, would be a tefach in each direction. That's at least where Yaakov is coming from. So it's not a skinny pole. This might would be how we originally viewed it when we started the Gemara, but it comes out that Yaakov does require a tefach in each direction. But again, still a massive chiddush. But it's not because there are walls, it's because there are a form of virtual wall called diyumdin. So this omer gives us two very, very interesting principles of virtual walls. The first type of virtual wall we encounter is called gud asik mechitzta, that we view the edges of buildings or rishus hayachad as if it continues up. And the other one is the idea of diyumad, which is a superkula in an area in the rishus that's going to be derabanan, but a superkula that you can have much less than a wall, just a little bit of a, English, how do you translate this? But some sort of wall-ish thing, some kind of divider. But in regular halacha, it has to be an amo, and in hilchos sukkah, it only has to be a tefach. But that's what Rabbi Yaakov says. Once you have a virtual, a theoretical tefach in each direction, it is a circle. For mice, it's a circle. You don't have to cut it out. But it's enough to be viewed as a tefach in each direction, and that's enough for a sukkah in terms of being viewed all in terms of diyumdin. Stop for today. Everybody, go take a breather, and we'll spend a few minutes on halacha.